This podcast is episode 3 in a series of 7 podcasts for Epiphany season following the worship in the Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to the 3rd podcast homily for Epiphany season, celebrating another of the ways in which Jesus shone forth his majesty and glory to the world. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. The primary focus for the second Sunday after Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, based upon the account in Mark 1, verses 1 through 11. The companion blog post for this podcast includes 2 19th and 20th century examples of stained glass windows based on the same theme, and a 19th century mosaic of John the Baptist at the Church of the Assumption in Jerusalem. The epistle reading for today is Romans 12, verses 6 to 16, which includes St. Paul's homily on the Christian virtues, especially love and humility. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul extolled 3 primary virtues, faith, hope, and love, or charity in the King James text. The subjects St. Paul discusses would 6 centuries later be codified into the 7 contrary virtues, that is, those 7 virtues which are the direct opposite of the 7 cardinal sins. These 7 contrary virtues are humility, kindness, abstinence, chastity, patience, liberality, and diligence. Variations on many of these virtues can be found in the AIC Christmas videos, Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas, which are available in both video and podcast versions using the links on the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Of particular interest are the entries for love, peace, compassion, family, obedience, and commandments. St. Paul encourages readers to understand that whatever they have, it is the result of the sovereign grace of the Father, which is another way of pointing toward the true meaning of the phrase, our daily bread, in the Lord's Prayer. The subject is also discussed in detail in the entry for virtue in the AIC bookstore publication, The Layman's Lexicon, available in both paperback and Kindle editions through my Amazon author page at https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. I like the New King James Version's text for the final 2 verses of the epistle reading, but for this podcast version, I have added a few more verses intended to put the quotation into its proper moral context. The scripture quotation in verse 19 is from Leviticus 19, verse 18. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. The Gospel reading is St. Mark's introduction of St. John the Baptist, whose coming is foretold in the prophecy of Malachi, who spoke of the messenger who would prepare the way, from Malachi 3, verse 1, before the Lord's coming. The book of Malachi is placed last in the Old Testament in the Western Church precisely because of the prophecy which Christians believe refers to John the Baptist, and thus John the Baptist is known as the last prophet of the Old Testament, as well as John the forerunner. St. Mark's terse account does not give us a context concerning John, for which we must rely upon the account of St. Luke, whose gospel informs us of the first contacts between Jesus and John the Baptist. John's parents were the barren Elizabeth, cousin to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and her elderly husband, Zacharias. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, Zacharias was visited by the Archangel Gabriel, who told him that his wife would conceive a son and that he would be named John. St. Luke informs us that when Mary, who had also conceived by miraculous means, visited her cousin Elizabeth, the unborn fetus of John jumped in Elizabeth's womb when the Blessed Virgin Mary was near. A second connection between John and Jesus is found in St. Matthew's mention in Matthew 11:14 that the coming of John fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy concerning the return of Elijah as a hairy man wearing a leather belt. Other prophecies concerning John are the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 40, verse 3, about making the way straight in preparation. Zacharias sang about the prospects and expectations for his unborn son, John the Baptist, in the wonderful song, the Benedictus, in Luke 1, verses 68 to 79. Thus John the Baptist, born of Elizabeth, established himself early as a very unconventional sort of man, living a life consistent with the Elijah prophecy. He lived in the wilderness, away from the cities, wore clothes made of camel skin instead of fine linen, a leather belt around his waist, and crude sandals. He ate what he found in the wild, locusts and wild honey. He called for the repentance of sinners, baptizing them with water in the river Jordan. St. Mark's account tells us that John, when asked if he was the Messiah foretold in prophecy, replied, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose," from Mark 1, verse 7. The statement recognizes that no one of high birth would have touched anyone else's sandals, we would say shoes, much less untie their laces. John continued this announcement and prediction of future events, saying, "I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," Mark 1, verse 8. Today's gospel account ends with the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth and his baptism in the Jordan and the rare simultaneous appearance of all three persons of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the presence of the Holy Spirit represented by the dove. In nearly all artistic representations of the baptism, the dove bears a banner with the words spoken by the Father, "Ecce Agnus Dei." Some say "Ecce Agnus Dei," literally meaning, "This is the Lamb of God." A summary of the spoken words from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The most obvious question raised by this scene is why did Jesus, who had not sinned, subject himself to John's form of baptism by water? The answer is twofold. First, in accepting John's baptism, Jesus shines forth to the whole world the validity of the message that John the Baptist had been preaching, that a Messiah would come and that repentance was necessary. By this humble act, Jesus validated John's personal ministry of witnessing and seeking repentance among the Jews, and joined to himself the many followers of John. These would form the backbone of much of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. The second answer is found in St. Matthew's Gospel, in which Jesus says in Matthew 3:15, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus subjected himself to the same ritual ceremony, a symbol of righteousness, in the same way he commanded for all who would follow him. In the Christian faith, baptism with water and the Holy Spirit replaces ritual circumcision as the rite of transition for a new Christian seeking fellowship in the church. For more, with pictures on the gospel accounts of St. John the Baptist and the baptism of Christ, see episodes 4 concerning St. Matthew, episode 7 concerning Mark, episodes 12, 13, 14, and 15 concerning St. Luke, and episode 28 about St. John in our YouTube Bible study series using the links provided on the Bible study page at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. My closing prayer for this podcast homily is the Song of Moses and the Lamb that you will find in chapter 15 of Revelation, and which is used in the Eastern Church in the rite of baptism, followed by the prayer book collect for the second Sunday after Epiphany. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And now the collect for the second Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty and everlasting God, who dost govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of thy people, and grant us thy peace all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.